But the court will proceed to the second case of the day, United States versus Gutierrez. Mr. Bolger.
Yes, sir. Good morning. This matter comes on an appeal from the district court with respect to Mr. Gutierrez. It's a one-issue matter, and the issue is simply whether the fleeting or momentary possession of the narcotics was sufficient for the jury to find him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. I realize that we have a tremendous burden to overcome. We have to take this evidence in a light most favorable to the government. I think the case that controls here is United States versus Kitchen. In this particular case...
Well, the charge here, though, is distribution, isn't it? It's not possession.
It is, Judge, but I feel that it's analogous.
Well, and possession is not required for distribution, is it?
Well, I think I would have to disagree with that. I think it would have to be because you'd have to possess it in order to distribute it.
I'm not so sure about that. You could direct someone what to do with something without ever possessing.
But that would be constructive possession. And that's the way I would view it. I think in this particular factual situation, counsel for the government seeks to distinguish Kitchen in the event that the Kitchen grabbed the cocaine. He had it in his possession for 2 to 3 seconds, commented on its purity, and seemed to pass on the transaction. In this particular situation...
I'm sorry. Here...
Yes, ma'am.
When the brother tells him, make sure no one touches my stuff, wasn't his brother, in effect, putting him in charge of the package? I mean, Mr. Gutierrez could have declined to take charge, but he seems to have taken control as soon as the package was threatened.
I don't agree with that, Judge, because the circumstances...
Why?
Well, because Mr. Gutierrez is sitting in a house which he lives in with his mother, his wife, and his children. And he's sitting on the couch in the living room. This is a typical Chicago house. You have your living room, your dining room, and then your kitchen. He's watching the soaps or whatever he's watching, and then his brother comes walking in and says and puts something in a cabinet and says, don't let anybody touch this. I don't think he's surrendering the authority.
Well, it's more than... No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He said, make sure no one touches my stuff. And as soon as he hears that his brother is arrested, he hurries home, hands the package to a friend, tells him to get rid of it. Why shouldn't we assume that he was following his... brother's directions. He's trying to protect the drugs for his brother by having the friend remove the drugs from the house.
Well, Judge, I think there's no question that he knew his brother was in some type of nefarious dealings.
Well, he assumed it was cocaine. It was his understanding that this was cocaine.
Basically, that's what he said, Judge. He did say that. He said, I thought, you know, knowing my brother, I thought it was cocaine. But you have to look at the totality of circumstances and look at the circumstances surrounding this. He doesn't really know what was put in there. He made an assumption on what it was. The brother's really not relinquishing control of this object to him. He doesn't want anybody to touch it, including his brother. They wind up going outside, Bernal and Gutierrez, Jesus.
Well, now, you say that doesn't want his brother to touch it either, but the jury gets to make inferences here, don't they? You're the trier of fact. The jury.
Well, I think they did, but I think they made the wrong inference.
Well, but they get to draw inferences. And from those facts, couldn't the jurors infer that there was this trust between brothers so that the brother who left the stuff there could let our defendant be in control of it and trusted him in that way so that he did turn control over that to him?
See, my thinking is that the brother, Jesus, really did not have that authority. And the reason he didn't is he had no choice. This wasn't his house. This was his mother's house. And his brother would have came in there and done it whether Jesus let him do it or not. It was an older brother. He had to go along with the older brother's
request. He doesn't turn to the mother and say, don't let Jesus and anyone else touch my stuff. he turns to Jesus and says, don't let anyone touch me.
But then from the facts, it would appear that the only people there was Jesus. The mother of son was there later on when the police arrived.
But whatever happened to free will? I mean, you know, if the defendant is just trying to dispose of the drugs, why not flush them? Why did he wait until his brother's arrested? If he didn't want drugs in the house, why didn't he get rid of it, the drugs immediately? I mean,
I think it shows naivete on his behalf.
Naivete?
He did not want to have anything to do with this, and clearly until
well,
his mother...
he didn't want to get caught with it, that's for sure.
I beg to differ with you, Judge. I think it was because of the mother and the children and the wife in the house. He didn't want them to have that problem, and that's why he has to get rid of it. Think about this now. When he walks out of the house, Bernal's going to the car to put the heroin in the car, and the DEA are there and they're grabbing him. He doesn't do anything at all to remove himself from the situation. He stands on the front porch and watches what's going on until the DEA agent summons him to come down to the sidewalk and begins the conversation with him regarding his involvement until he's placed under arrest. So in this particular situation, if at least in my humble opinion, if he was guilty of something, if he had something to hide, if he knew he was participating in some way in a undercover scheme, he would have went back in the house or went out the back door or fled while he had the opportunity to. Instead, he stands there and he allows to be interviewed by these folks, gives them consent to search the home, and gives them consent to search a subsequent home that his brother uses. So it's a kind of a catch-22 situation. It seems to me he was kind of damned if he didn't, damned if he didn't. And arguably, the government will say that he actually grabbed the package and handed it to Bernal, yet there was no fingerprints on the package either. So be that as it may, he wanted this out of his mother's home. He wanted it away from his children. Probably if he really knew what was going on, he would have told his brother not to bring it in the first place. But
Mr. Bolger, it's also his home, right?
He's a resident. He is. He lives there. You're correct. But he doesn't have the control over it. It's his mom who was the one that was the owner of the home. He was living with her. But I think under this fleeting or momentary possession, that passing it off to Bernal to get it out of the house, it seems to me that the culpable parties escape prosecution, yet he winds up with the burden. And for that, he's doing 5 years. It just seems a little unconscionable.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bolger. Mr. Kubiatowski.
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Steve Kubiatowski, representing the United States. The defendant in this case was convicted of distribution, intentional and knowing distribution of a controlled substance, namely in excess of 100 grams of heroin, the evidence was more than sufficient to support the jury's finding that the defendant was guilty of that distribution.
I wondered why the government charged him with distribution instead of with obstruction, because it seems from the confession far more likely that he was trying to destroy the drugs than trying to distribute them.
Your Honor, given the reference in his statement, his post-arrest statement, get rid of it, I can see your point where it could be construed as thrown it away. But the inference can also be raised, as the government argued, that his co-defendant, Oscar Bernal, interpreted that as meaning get it out of the house. He did not take it to a garbage can or otherwise dispense with it. He took it to a car across the street from the residence for which Mr. Bernal had a key and hid it underneath the car seat. The government's argument, the inference that we believe that the jury properly accepted, was that when the defendant distributed that heroin to Mr. Bernal and told him to get rid of it, that he meant hide it somewhere so the police don't find it when they ultimately arrive here to search the residence.
Would we have the same case if He had opened the cabinet, pointed to the drugs, and said to Oscar, take the package and get rid of it. I mean, does it matter that he touched the package, or does it just matter that he directed someone else to move the package?
I believe that would be it still would be the same charge of distribution, because distribution, and I would disagree with the counsel, you can cause the distribution of something without actually physically touching it. In this instance, he did in fact physically touch it, and granted, the touching of the heroin in this case was momentary, but as I think this court's case law makes very clear, it's not the time of the handling of the narcotics or the contraband as much as the exercise of control or dominion over that particular contraband. And in this case, the record makes clear, and the jury decided, that the defendant did exercise control and authority over the heroin, and in this case, when he grabbed it and gave it to his co-defendant, Mr. Bernal, and told him, get rid of it.
And his brother never faced the music in any way, is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
What orchestra was playing there?
Your Honor, I can't comment further with respect to the decisions that were made based on the evidence that the government was presented with. Unless there are any further questions, I'll yield the remainder of my time.
You're terrified of what's coming next?
Thank you, Mr. Kubiatowski. And Mr. Bolger.
The government seems to rely on Lane and its protege. Lane is a UUW case where the fleeting or momentary possession is determined in a different way than it is with narcotics. Now, I can't say that I disagree completely with counsel, but I will tell you this. The control or dominion, which he alludes that was exercised by Jesus Gutierrez, it needs more than just physical contact. You need some type of something in addition to this. I would like to akin this handling of the narcotics, as you will, to an inadvertent assistance to his brother. There's no indication that he wanted his brother's scheme to succeed or to go on. It would be
Wait a minute. He didn't even start this until he got that news from the kid on the bicycle that the brother had been arrested.
Right, but that
just goes
to show you.
So that suggests that he thought, wow, let's get this out of here before the brother gets hit with that, too.
That's one way of looking at it.
Yeah,
but it's
also
the way of looking at it is
determination, I think.
To protect his family. I think we always...
Your argument would be better if the moment the brother left, he did this.
I agree with you. But then again, he'd have to face his brother's wrath. You know, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. You're kind of stuck with them. And I think in this particular situation, we have to use, if nothing else, a common sense approach to this, that this young man was put in a very precarious situation by his brother. He had no choice. He had to go along with it. He wound up taking when he knew that his brother was arrested, he inadvertently assisted him by getting it out of the house with the intentions of protecting the family. And I think that's the common sense approach to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bolger. Thank you, Mr. Kubiatowski. Mr. Bindi. The case is taken under advisement.